podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, everybody. I hope everybody is well on this foggy Thursday evening as it is here in Limerick. You've just got me at the moment. Neil is on the way. So we said that there was a lot of people waiting in there, so I've kind of just taken the reins. So if you have any questions, fire them at me for the next few minutes while we're waiting on Neil, and we'll see how many we can get through of your comments and whatever. Let's start by going through Michael Huggins. If Gerrard doesn't get any money to spend in January, he's gone by the end of the season. I think we could be looking at a different manager by January, but that's just my opinion. We'll spend money in January either way. We have to spend money. There's a lot of areas need improving, so I can completely put my hand on my heart and say there'll be money spent in January no matter what. All a bit negative, I'd say, tonight. Anyone else checking every hour to see if the man has been given the gate? Yes, there's a number of people in all the WhatsApp groups that I'm in are exactly doing that. So, just give me a thumbs up if you can all hear me there, because obviously I don't go live on my own too often. So just give me a thumbs up if you can hear what I'm saying. Rod Humble says, can't believe Purslow has continuing his failed experiment. Wowzer. Is it a failed experiment? It is so far, isn't it? It's a tough one. It's tough for us all to take at the moment, but we just got to be as positive as we can. We know none of us want Villa to lose, even if it means changing the manager. Unfortunately, Saturday, I think, is one, or Sunday, is going to be one of those days that we're beaten anyway. Anne says, I'd say he'd be with us for a far while longer. Well, rumour has it that the owners are in town this weekend. We could see the dreaded vote of confidence, or we could see a change. Who knows? What do you think? Do you think they're coming to give a vote of confidence, or do you think they're coming to change it, or do you think they're just coming to watch the game? Do you think it's just because they're Chelsea, they're rocking into town just to see how we get on? See, is there anything positive going on in here? So Jimmy Danger says they won't sack until they have someone lined up. Unfortunately, we're not attractive enough project for the likes of Poch or Emery. I kind of disagree with that, Jimmy, that we're not attractive enough. There's a huge possibility that one of these could end up as our manager. I would say if you offered this job to Unai Emery, he would snap your hands off for another shot at the Premier League. I'm not saying that's going to happen straight away, but I definitely think it could happen. Poch, maybe not, tends to come in when there's someone who's on their uppers starting to come on their downers. So let's see what happens. AVFC Stato, can we bring back El Ghazi and Trezeguet? They both scored tonight. I think I read somewhere that they both scored tonight, but look, fair play to them. They're in Europe. For me, I wouldn't have them back. They didn't do enough for me when they're on the pitch. El Ghazi, albeit, did score a few goals, a lot of them penalties, a lot of them tap-ins, but was Johnny on the spot to score those tap-ins. So doing a lot better than our current strike force, but there you have it. So Ad says, I think Sunday is his latest one. Can't see us winning at Villa Park, and Villa Park is ready to return. Is that what you're saying? I watched a few videos, especially Max Stokes from Villa on Tour. He had a video up where you could blatantly hear them turning on Monday night. There was a lot of, we want Gerrard out. There was a friend, and one of the Irish Lions, Dave O'Rourke, was there. He said he heard it too. Lewis adds to that and said, I'm scared going to the match on Saturday. It's going to be toxic. it could be toxic, or we could have a Man City style performance and make this very difficult for Chelsea. We'll get more into how we're going to line up and how Chelsea are going to line up when Neil makes it on. Karma Baby says, we hear you wonderfully. Thank you very much. Stato says he could hear me too, and so does Ronan. Excellent. Okay. Any chance we might play Luiz in his best position? That would involve playing Dendonker. I think Dendonker is ready. I would play Dendonker on Sunday with Luiz and whoever, either side of him. Whatever you choose is your own choice. I would have John McGinn and Luiz either side of Dendonker, if he persists in the way he's lining up, which is blatantly obvious that he will. Now, Douglas Luiz interview. Must apologise. I've just done a 12-hour day, and that involved coaching kids after work. So I saw a negative comment underneath and decided not to watch it before I came on. So I was just trying to catch up on scores and see if anyone was injured for the weekend. Archer to score again against Chelsea. Play him. You're not going to get any arguments from me. Play Ings or Archer the weekend. Why not? Nothing to lose. So Rachel says, hi all. Is it just me, but I am sad of the Dunkey. I'm sad of the Dougie interview. He's committed whilst he is with us, but he is leaving in January. It's a strange one, Rachel, and I blame the hierarchy for letting this one roll. I think when he came back in the summer, there should have been a good enough contract on the table. I haven't actually seen what he said today, but by what a few comments I read, he said that he's committed, but obviously the contract is his eyes have been opened by Arsenal's interest. And I'm resigned to losing him, if not in January, more than likely at the end of the season. But there's not a whole pile me or you are going to do about that now. I think that race was lost in the summer by not getting him to sign that contract. Thankfully, Neil is with us. Neil will add himself, because if I do it, I'll probably make a mess of it.
Hello, everyone. No, your screen isn't broken. I'm just on the wrong side of the screen this time.
You can change it if you like. You're good at these things.
Okay, well, we'll shut up Paddy there for a moment, and then we'll bring him back on. And now the world is all back in sync again.
How's everyone doing? Neil suffers from OCD. It's like the Ant and Deck effect. We have to be on the right side.
No one will know who we are, Paddy, if we're on the wrong side. That's just the way of life. Apologies for my tardiness, everybody. I'll just apologize for my tardiness now. But yeah, we've got Chelsea the weekend. Everyone delighted. I'm sure everybody is really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
100%. But so Paddy, I'm completely coming in out of the cold here. So what were you guys? What have you covered and what haven't you covered? So
well, we decided to leave the reason that we're here for when you arrive to talk about the match at the weekend. So we just went through a few of the comments I didn't see Douglas Luiz's interview today, so I couldn't say too much on it, but we talked a little bit about Gerrard and whether they were going to sack him or not. And I discussed the fact that the owners are in town this weekend, and I wonder, is that just to watch the match? Is it to give the dreaded vote of confidence, or is it to press the big red button? But that we won't find out till Monday, because I don't think any of us are in a position to read the owner's mind at this stage.
No, neither do I. And I'm I read other things that there's stuff going on in the UK this week about NFL and about NFL teams, and there's some sort of talk about some sort of a European league as well, and there's some talk about some European basketball stuff as well. So they could be here for a multitude of reasons. But obviously, Aston Villa, come and see Aston Villa is number one. They're probably just due a visit anyway, I would say.
Plus, I think they've both got offices in the UK.
This is exactly it. I wouldn't read too much into it that it's shit or bust for Steven Gerrard regards to this weekend. Yeah. We, like, you know, I think we can all hope that's the case. But and look, it would be handy for them being in the country if that was the case. But you know, they can just as easily get rid of a manager over email and or over the phone or over Zoom or whatever. It's been done before. They won't be the first or they won't be the last. And look, who's to say we don't go out and win 2-0 at the weekend? It's as possible as anything else. Even if there's a 1% possibility, things with a 1% possibility still come true every so often. So I wouldn't be reading into the owners are here too much. I think that's but look, as I say, as you said there, Paddy, we'll find out about it when it happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If it happens.
Before we get into anything else, Neil, there's 95 people on there. Just like to do something positive before the weekend. My two season tickets are not being used this weekend. So there's an adult and a child there. If someone would like to DM me either on Twitter and Instagram at Villa Paddy or email me at villapaddy82@gmail.com, there's an adult and a child. I'd love to see a child use the ticket that doesn't normally get to go to Villa Park. So if you can nominate someone, if you want to talk to someone who you'd like to see bring their child, it's a big game. Mightn't necessarily be the best game, but the tickets are there. So if anybody is going to be in or around Birmingham or within commuting distance, by all means, try and send that in by lunchtime tomorrow, and I will get those changed into your fan IDs and send over to you by close of play tomorrow, so you can enjoy the match on Sunday with somebody.
That's deadly, Paddy. That is excellent. You never know, that could be a child's first time being in the whole den or something like that, and you could make a fan forever. So I don't know what the parameters were there, Paddy. Do you just want to firm up on the parameters there? It's not a competition. There's no like
retweet. No, it's not a competition. Like
this is the just being sound.
Yeah, it's just me being sound. I just love to see an adult and a child be able to go to the game. Maybe somebody who can't generally afford to do that. I'm just in the lucky position that the tickets are available this weekend. So if somebody wants, I won't make a decision to tomorrow. I won't even look at the DMs until tomorrow. So just send them on. I'll read through them on my lunch tomorrow and make a decision.
And that's excellent, Paddy. And by all means, this is nowhere near the gesture Paddy has made. But I remembered that I've twice now forgotten to do the winner of our hold all. That we did before the Nottingham Forest game. We were supposed to do it in the post-match for Nottingham, or the preview for Nottingham Forest. We didn't do it in the preview. We didn't do it in the post-match. We certainly didn't do it in the team sheet tantrum. So we're actually going to do it now. The parameters for that were to like, share, and comment on who you thought the player was that was hiding behind the funny gases and nose that I put on him. You guys might remember, do I still have that here? I don't know. No, I don't. I got rid of it. The actual picture itself. But a lot of people got the person wrong. So I'm not going to go with who the person is. So Paddy, if you want to pick a number between 1 and 31, because that was the amount of retweets that were there. And basically, I'm just going to go down through the list of retweets and whatever number you pick, whoever's number that is going to be the winner.
So I think I picked number 3 the last time, which was Steve Staunton's number. So I'm going to go for his other number this time, which is number 11.
Number 11. So 11, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 is Mark Brannigan, Branners at Lord Aston. You have won the hold all.
Very good.
Get in touch. And I know Mark, if he's not watching now, he'll be watching early tomorrow morning, because I know for a fact that he'll definitely hear his name. So Mark Brannigan, get in touch there. We'll send that hold all to you. It'll be bringing its way from the Villa shop. So that's a bit of positivity. Bit of whatever at the start of the game. Guys, get on top of Paddy's DMs for his for that season ticket. Really cool gesture. He didn't run it by me or anything, but I'm delighted he didn't, because
it came into my head earlier on. And just to reiterate that you can get me on Instagram or Twitter at Villa Paddy, and the email address is villapaddy82@gmail.com. So just in case they start messaging you, Neil, send it to me and I'll look after it.
Well, what I'll do is I'll put I'll put that in the notes for the podcast on YouTube. Perfect. and then you'll be there. Someone's telling me to check. Oh, Dean. Guys, by the way, if anybody ever tries to contact me on Instagram, myself and Paddy have this running joke. I never check Instagram. I'm so useless at it. If anybody wants to run the podcast Instagram, you're more than welcome to run it for me. I would be absolutely delighted. I'm allergic to that application for whatever reason.
And in fairness, I speak to Dean every few days, and Dean doesn't do Twitter, so that's why he's
messaging me there.
And I have great respect for anybody that doesn't do Twitter, because it can be a really toxic place as well.
Yeah, Yeah, so I do. So take this as an apology for everybody that I have. I'm not ignoring you out of spite or anything like that. And that goes on anything. If anyone ever DMs me, I'll probably just forget to get back to you. Not forget to get back to you. I probably just haven't even seen it. It's probably as simple as that. Anyway, all the apologies out of the way. Dean, I'll check that in a moment. I think I remember what that's about because I think I remember I did reply to you once, maybe about 6 weeks ago. And that one. So, guys, let's talk about Chelsea. Paddy. What do you think? That's basically, I was going to go, how many goals would you think we're going to score at the weekend? But I think that's a pretty loaded question that could send the conversation anyway. But what do you think? Like, we're obviously playing Chelsea at home. You know, we've had an up and down record over the last six or seven games against Chelsea. We've won some games we've been expected to lose. We've drawn some games with them. And then we've gone out and we've lost games whereby we've been coming into with a small bit of momentum. But we've never really been at the 9-0 situation that we were some years back against Chelsea. It's kind of, I'm not going to say the gap has lessened. Obviously, it hasn't. Their players are fantastic. And they had Thomas Tuchel and they've won the Champions League recently. And now they've got Graham Potter, who a lot of players wanted. But do you think, I suppose, really at this moment in time, I suppose, do you think that anything is possible? I've said before, but do you actually really think it is possible at the weekend the way Chelsea are playing, the way they've just played in the Champions League over the last couple of years?
Well, if I didn't believe it was possible, I wouldn't bother turning on the TV on Sunday. Yeah. I wouldn't be a fan of the club. It is possible. I've been there that day when Delph scored that.
Yes.
God knows how he put that in. I think that was one of the greatest days, and I think it was the day that I saw my son fall in love with Aston Villa, and I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It was around St. Patrick's Day, 2013-ish, or maybe a little bit more, I'm not sure. And it was my son's first trip to the Holt End, and the Holt End was absolutely rocking. So we were pretty poor in that period, regardless of whether it was 13, 14 or 15, whatever it was, we were poor. So that came completely out of the blue. The Man City performance came completely out of the blue. I can see a Man City-esque performance defensively and midfield. I just can't see where goals are going to come from. So I'm expecting, without seeing who we have or who they have at their disposal, I'm expecting a defeat, but a narrow defeat.
I think that I think it's not going to be one of these games that anybody's going to be writing home about. I think that Aston Villa have become what we've become since the Southampton game. Since the Southampton game. We've become a scared team, as we've said before. And that's, you know, that is what it is. We've got a manager, obviously, who is, look, we're undefeated in four. And I keep on saying that. I say it sometimes in jest, but it's the reality of the situation. We're undefeated in four. We're playing absolutely turgid football. We're playing really, really poor football. We've got zero creativity, but somehow we're clawing results out of it. And the reason that I brought up Graham Potter previously was there were times last year when Brighton were getting draws against even teams that they should have won against, but also against teams that they should never have beaten last year. And I think, like, when we look back at it, we couldn't buy a draw last season for good periods of the year. We were either losing or winning. And by all means, I'm not saying that this is that Graham Potter and Steven Gerrard are in the same ballpark at this moment in time. But there was times last year that Graham Potter was getting booed by his fans, and because he was getting draws. And we're kind of at that stage at the moment. So draws are not the answer. They're not the antidote to what we want to see. We want to see good football. We want to see better football. We want to see green shoots of revival. I'm not quite sure this is going to be the game for the weekend. By all means, we could have a game whereby we go 2-0 up in the first 20 minutes and play backs to the wall and hold on and win 2-1 or even get a 2-2 draw. And we might be here sitting here going, God, we should have won that game. But didn't we score two goals? That kind of way. I really can't read this one, and I can't read it because it's at home, and we've been pretty poor at home. We've been pretty poor away, but we've been pretty poor at home as well. So I just have no way of reading this game other than Chelsea are probably going to dominate, but you know, Villa have started fast in some games this season and gotten early goals, and you can't. Like if that was to happen, I think it could change the complexion of the game, given how well we've been defending recently.
Yeah, look, just going back to what I remember the day that Potter was booed after Brighton drawing, and that's not going to happen to Chelsea with the quality of players they have. They won't be drawing as many games. There are similarities, but at least Brighton looked like they were going to score goals. Brighton were trying to score goals. They were just very hard to beat. I just can't see where goals are going to come for us. Brighton tacked on the wins. If you remember at the beginning of last season, I had Brighton down to go down. I really thought they were in trouble. And he did a fantastic job there. And I expect him to do a decent enough job at Chelsea. I don't expect him to do the job that everybody expects him to do. And I do think he'll be looking for a job within the next 12 to 18 months. And that's no slight on him. I think that's just the way Chelsea are. And I don't envisage their attitude changing. But look, he's had a great start. He's beaten Inter Milan twice. He set the teams out very, very well against Inter Milan. He played both games, he played a kind of five at the back, made them very hard to break down. I don't envisage a five at the back because he's playing Aston Villa. It's just not going to be needed. But it'll be an interesting team selection. I see someone mentioning Kearney. I think he got a few minutes, did he, last week? Kearney get a few minutes?
I don't know.
Maybe. I think he might have got up for a substitute appearance. Look, it's bleak. I don't expect anything from this game, but you know, I didn't expect anything from Man City either. So we just got to get out and get behind the team, regardless of what you think of the manager. We'll be turning on the TV for us. Yeah. We'll be supporting the team. We'll do what we can from the terraces, but. You know, I think the gig is up after listening to you missed this bit. We spoke about Max Stokes' video of them singing "We Want Gerrard Out." David O'Rourke from the Irish Lions was there. He said it was fairly vocal after the game. And I think once the away support turns, I think it takes something special to turn it back. And to take something special is going to be beating Chelsea, beating Brentford, beating Man United twice. Who else is in between that? Newcastle. All those games are going to have to be pretty special in order to turn the away support back. So,
and that was going to be a question of mine as well. What will the atmosphere be like? You're giving away two tickets for the whole tent. There will be people coming. Like, do we have the temper? Okay, you could only get them if you're going to be really angry. That's the only way you're allowed to get those tickets. Is that it? Because it could, as you say, like when the away fans go, the away fans never really went and turned against Dean Smith. You know, but when some away fans know it, and I think it is fair to say that some is even a stretch on some of the performances and the managers we've had before who never called for that, you know. So it's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to see what it's like at the weekend, because Paddy, this Chelsea team are coming and it looks like they're going to be without Reece James. Now we know Reece James loves to score in this fixture, whether it's own goals for us or whether it's goals against us or play have the game of his life against us. I think he's an absolutely brilliant defender. Brilliant player, I'm going to say. He's good in both phases. I think him being missing is going to be more pivotal than a lot of people make out to be, specifically within the Premier League, I think it is. Because, yes, Azpilicueta will most likely come in at right back for them there. But, you know what? I kind of fancy people against Azpilicueta at this stage in his career. What do you think? Am I being overly simplistic on that one?
Well, you've got to back somebody to turn it with... Depending on who's available and where he plays them, you've got to back somebody to be able to turn Azpilicueta at this stage. But unfortunately, when you turn Azpilicueta, there's 10 other players waiting to step in and and look after him. So it doesn't really make a huge difference for me. I would be wary of the Reece James has popped up with a fair few goals in his time, fair few assists. I like him as a player, I really do. When I say like him as a player, I bloody hate when he plays Villa, but I do think he has an awful lot to offer as a player. So, it can only be a good thing if he's out. Is it enough? Probably not.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is, look, Thiago Silva, every single year since he's come to the Premier League, I remember sitting here and saying, and maybe I'm ageist. I think it's just because I'm ageist. I think that's what it is. I've just had that realization. I need to go and get and check that bias of mine. But Thiago Silva came to the league at 35 years of age. I don't think I would have been the only person saying, "Ah, legs are gone. Been playing in a slow league. Been playing in a farmers league. Been playing in a French league. Ah, legs are gone." And obviously playing in those Brazilian teams. And at the time, those Brazilian teams were getting humbled. Then he comes into Chelsea and he's bloody world beater Thiago Silva that he was 10 years previous. You know, he's been brilliant. But there has to come a time whereby someone is going to put him on his arse and turn him around and break it. And what I mean by that is there has to be some time where somebody's going to get around him and make him look silly. And Koulibaly on the other side of him there, yes, he's had some very good moments. The goal that he scored was an absolute worldie. But teams have gotten in around him. They've made him look a bit ploddy at times this season. Not very often, but they have done it. And I'm not the biggest Cucurella fan. I don't think he's worth 50 million or whatever they paid for him. I just don't. I think he's effort, and I think that's what he is. I'm not this sage of to think that he's absolutely a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he was being made out to be this absolutely fantastic like top 10 defenders in the world at one stage, and he was nowhere near that. And that's I think that's fair to say. So what I'm trying to get at here is when you look at that and the fact that they won't have N'Golo Kante, they haven't had him for a while. They're not going to have Fofana, probably going to be Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho there in midfield. When you look at that back four, there is ways to get at them. Now, I'm obviously talking about the fact that we've got dustpans for creativity up there at times, but the optimistic person in me has to say that it could be we could score goals against this team somehow if something clicked at all, because you know they aren't as impenetrable as they look on paper, I think. And I know I'm being overly optimistic here. I know I am, but it's just a fact that those players, we would have to, it's like some team is going to catch them at some stage, and it might just be Aston Villa.
Like they started off poorly. They were hammered 3-0 by Chelsea. Southampton scored two goals against them. I think they're a different side since then. Definitely a different side. Yeah. I think Potter has stabilized things there now. I just don't see how we might get a goal, but they'll score more. I've no doubt in my mind that if we score one, they'll do enough to go and beat us 2-1 or 3-1. I just can't see it any other way. They haven't been blowing teams away, with the exception of beating Wolves 3-0. You know,
that's what I'm thinking.
They did put three on Milan, who, let's face it, it is Milan. It's hard to go there and get results, but they're a mediocre Milan side. They're not the AC Milan of old, so I wouldn't read too much into that. I'd hope they're tired. You know, they've had two weeks of tough European trips. That might help us a little bit. But I'm just finding it really, really difficult to get up for this. I'm finding it really, really difficult to have any belief in where we are in order to do a number on Chelsea, who just have way too much in the locker for us.
I think so too. And you know what? You're saying that Aston Villa may not beat, or that you just can't see them beating Chelsea. Well, that wouldn't be out of kilter with what's happened historically, because you know what time it is. It's time for that piece that everybody loves in these pre-match previews. It's time for Stato Corner. Look at that, just like pros. Stato Corner, the great, wonderful AVFC Stato, has given us some statistics, and we're going to run through them. And as you may have guessed from spoiler alert, that Chelsea have had the rub of the green against Aston Villa in recent times. But let's look at some of the statistics that are there, and we'll take a rundown through them. So first one is that Graham Potter has only won one of his last seven games against Aston Villa in all competitions, losing his last two in the Premier League. There's hope. There is hope, you know, there is hope. Next one is Ezri Konsa is set to make his 100th Premier League appearance for Aston Villa this weekend, and he will become the 12th Aston Villa defender to reach this number. I completely forgot to get back to AVFC Stato to get the list of defenders, the 11 defenders who are above him. But number one, I would not have thought that he was coming up on 100 Premier League appearances. But then again, he has been almost ever present. Since the return.
Look, we've patted him on the back many times, and we've kicked him on the arse many times.
Yeah,
Ezri Konsa has been good for Aston Villa in the majority. He's had his poor games, but you can put it in the chat now. But for only 12 players in the Premier League era to get to 100 appearances, that is, you know, that is well worth a round of applause for Ezri Konsa. Fair play to him.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. Aston Villa play Chelsea at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And guess what? Aston Villa have not won any of their last 10 Premier League games at this time on a Sunday, drawing 2 and losing 8. Last doing so against Burnley in 2010. But it was a 5-2 victory in Villa Park.
Jeepers.
We'll take a 5-2 again. We'll take a 5-2.
That was a bit of a mad game too, if memory serves me correct.
I have no recollection of that game whatsoever. None. No recollection of it whatsoever. So answers on a postcard anyway. If anybody can tell me who the scorers were there, that would be nice. Next one is Aston Villa have won just 2 of their last 15 Premier League games against Chelsea. That's what I was alluding to, Paddy. With regards to Chelsea. Chelsea, we've drawn 1, lost 12, scoring 12 goals and conceding 39 in the process. Look, I don't think anybody needs to sit here and think that nobody needs to need a reminding of that. We've just had a woeful record against Chelsea, albeit recently we've won once or twice against them. Over the last 5 or 6 games, it's been a different-ish story, should I say. We've had a bit more about us against Chelsea. Next one is only in 2014 and 15 where we scored 4 goals, and 2002-2003 when we scored 6 goals, have Aston Villa scored less goals in the first 9 game weeks of a season than this season where we've scored 7? So look, guys, these are still facts, but these are like, this is where we are at the moment. Some of these facts are not nice to watch, but they're exactly where we are. And we're not going to sugarcoat any of them as well. So we're not scoring goals and we're playing up against a team who traditionally beat us. So that to me is a bit worrying. And I think we have one more statistic there. No, we don't. I knew I left in one for Nottingham Forest, from the Nottingham Forest one on the slide deck. So that is the end of our statistics. Thank you so much to AVFC Stato. I really, really appreciate it. And thanks for sending those on today and for helping us to fill the segment that we like to call Stato's Corner. Now, so we're more enlightened about the reality of the situation there with those great statistics, Paddy. Do you want to give me and I know you're not somebody who likes to give predictions, but do you want to give me a prediction? What would be your prediction?
I'm going to give you a prediction because I'm not going to make the team sheet tantrum on Sunday, so I'll give you a prediction. But before I make the prediction, that 5-2 game against Burnley.
Yes.
Gabby Agbonlahor, Heskey, Downing, and...
Oh, I do...
Ashley Young scored.
I remember it. Yeah, was that that was yeah yeah? Actually, I think he referenced. No, it wasn't. It was the game in 2011. Yeah,
yeah. I predict that we will score a goal, but I'm going to go 3-1 Chelsea at the weekend, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be real. I think we will be in the game, but I think they'll just have too much for us.
Just to close out before I give my prediction, AVFC Stato has come up trumps. Paddy, can you guess? Actually, let's play a guessing game, Paddy. Paddy, you're on the spot. And oh, you can see them in the comments. What am I doing this for? You can see the fucking comments. Anyway, I'll put them up. The 11 players that have over 100 caps or that are ahead of Ezri Konsa Premier League appearances are diminutive Alan Wright, some guy called Steve Staunton. No, Paddy, you might be able to enlighten me on
never
him.
Heard of him.
Olaf Melberg, Ugo Ehiog, Gareth Southgate, J. Lloyd Samuel, RIP, Paul McGrath, Kieran Clark, Tyrone Mings, Earl Barrett, and the great Sean Teal. So there's some really big names in there. And I suppose when you look at it, that's a nice group of players to be in if you are Ezri Konsa now. So like realistically here, Kieran Clark, a lot of those guys would be, I suppose mainstays. They'll be in somebody's best 20 players that they've probably seen for Aston Villa. If you had to pick a certain amount of defenders, yeah. So fair play to him, Ezri Konsa. That is a fair achievement to make 100 games in the Premier League. So I think this game at the weekend, I've probably been alluding to it. You've probably heard me that I'm always going to want Aston Villa to win. I'm always going to want Aston Villa to get something out of the game. I just have this inkling for this game at the weekend that we're going to score goals, but we're going to be disappointed. And what I mean by we're going to be disappointed, and I've said it already, I think we're going to do something silly like go to a two goal lead and get reeled back and draw 2-2. And that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. I've no basis for it, but I just think we're due something when no one expects it, that the players will pull something out of the bag, but we'll ultimately be sitting here at the afterwards going, how did we lose a 2-0 lead? where we were up by 2 goals with 70 minutes gone in the game. Yeah. And then we conceded 2 in the last minute. You know, one of those
I'd take City last season. I would take a 2-2 draw right now, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd take exactly what you're explaining right now, because I think that would be a good performance and a good result, even if we were 2-0 up.
And I think it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I think the way that we're, you know, I think this, yes, we're not attacking, and we're obviously not. And I know that there's going to be comments coming in, going, well, how are we going to score 2 goals? I have no bloody idea how we're going to score 2 goals. But there was no way you could have told me we were going to be 2-0 up at 70 minutes against Man City and lose 3-2. And that could very well happen. And I just think this team plays better against teams where they're completely given 0-0-0 chance. You saw it against Man City this season as well. So I don't know. I've no reason for it. It's just something that I just have a feeling in my waters about. I'm fully prepared to be 1,000,000% wrong and for us to get absolutely trounced at the weekend. But for me, I'm going to go 2-2. And look, as I say, that's 5 games unbeaten. I don't know what we start talking about then. You know, is it actually a good run at that stage? I've no idea. Like, it's just, we're in such a topsy-turvy upside down land at the moment with this, with the performance in the field where they're so bad. Yeah. And they're so mediocre in an attacking sense that we just don't know where to look or what to do with it at the moment. So, look, I'm going to go 2-2 draw at this game, but I'm going to go that we'll be kind of ruining the fact that we should have won the game. How's about that? I think everybody will. Kind of keeps everybody happy in that way.
Before you go wrapping things up, I just want to say that again that. My 2 season tickets aren't being used. There's a lot more people on now than there was when I said it. They're not being used this weekend. If there's someone out there who feels there's a young child that would love to go or wants to bring a young child for the first time, the tickets are there. They're free of charge. You get me on Instagram or on Twitter at Villa Paddy, or you can email me at villapaddy82@gmail.com. Do it quickly. Do it before tomorrow lunchtime. I'll pick someone tomorrow lunchtime because I need to inform the ticket office and get the tickets emailed over to whoever's gone. So if you know somebody in around Villa Park, don't be putting extra expense on somebody who doesn't plan to be there, or you know, if there's any issue getting there. It's just, I know it's a last minute thing, so it's a good chance for somebody who wouldn't ordinarily get to go. So if you know somebody, please do make the suggestion.
Great stuff, Paddy. Excellent. Yeah, so get them in quickly. As I say, what cut-off point? 2 o'clock tomorrow, Paddy?
2 o'clock tomorrow is good, yeah. 2 o'clock
tomorrow, yeah. And as I say, apologies to anybody who's watching this late and doesn't get to watch it in time. 2 o'clock tomorrow, we have to have the cut-off point so that the ticket office can be notified. Excellent. 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 So, guys, thank you so much for watching. I do apologize once again for being late. Thank you so much. We have 161, Jesus, watching this at 10:30 on a Thursday night. That just goes to show how much Aston Villa means to us fans and to all of you guys out there. Really appreciate everything you do for the podcast. If you don't already follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on @LoveMcGrawPod. You can give us a thumbs up on this. We really appreciate it. Actually, before you leave today, if you could just give a thumbs up on the YouTube link, that would really, really help us. Just kicks us out there with regards to the algorithm. And also subscribe if you're not subscriber. Actually, would you believe, guys, that only 30% of the people that watch this podcast actually subscribe to the podcast, which always blows my mind, because we get so many watches and so many listens to the podcast in real time. So thank you very much to everybody, and if you don't subscribe, you might consider just clicking on that subscribe button. It doesn't cost you anything.
And a special shout out before we go to the manager of the month, Carla Ward, very much deserved. Brilliant. Absolutely. And long may their rise continue, and to give us something to look at the opposite end of the table than we're used to with the men. So hopefully they can follow suit and start getting results on the board.
Here, I completely concur with that. Lastly as well, Mark Brannigan, Branners on Twitter, get in contact with me and we'll get you out that hole all as well. Thanks so much, everybody, for everything you do for the podcast. Once again, stay safe, stay healthy. Get on to Paddy before 2 o'clock tomorrow if you want that ticket, or if you know of somebody who would love those tickets. But until next time, guys, thank you very much, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.